Lahiri, if one should carefully attain this knowledge, must one become a great scholar before becoming a Vaishnava? Babaji, a Vaishnava need not study different languages and become a great scholar. To throw far away the bewilderments presented by Maya, what the soul must do is take shelter at the feet of a bona fide Vaishnava spiritual master. By the spiritual master's words of instruction and by the disciple's own spiritual activities, the disciple comes to understand truth of these relationships. This is called diksha, initiation, and siksha, instruction. Lahiri, what does one do after initiation and instruction? Babaji, living a moral life, one should serve Lord Krishna. This is called Abhideya. Because it is clearly described in the Vedas and all other scriptures, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu called this activity Abhideya. Lahiri, with tears in his eyes, O spiritual master, I take shelter of your feet. By hearing the honey of your words, I now understand my relationship with Lord Krishna. By your mercy, all my previous ideas of caste, knowledge, and spiritual instruction are thrown far away. Now please mercifully instruct me about Abhideya. Babaji, there need be no more worry. Now that you are humble, Sri Krishna Chaitanya will certainly be merciful to you. Association with devotees is the only cure for souls bound in the material world. The bona fide spiritual master mercifully teaches one how to serve Lord Krishna. By engaging in devotional service, one gradually attains the goal of life. Thus, devotional service is called Abhideya. Lahiri, please tell me, how does one serve Lord Hari? Babaji, devotional service to Lord Hari is called Bhakti. Bhakti has three stages. 1. Sadhana, devotional service and practice. 2. Bhava, ecstasy. And 3. Prema, pure love. Beginning stage is sadhana. By again and again performing sadhana, bhava is manifested. When bhava becomes perfect, it is called prema. Lahiri, what are the different kinds of sadhana and how are they performed? Please teach me that. Babaji, in his book Sri Hari Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami has elaborately described all this. I will give a brief summary. There are 9 kinds of sadhana. In Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.23, it is said, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smarnam Parasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Shakyam Atmani Vedanam. Hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 items of paraphernalia, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming a servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, and surrendering everything unto him, in other words, serving him with the body, mind, and words. These 9 processes are accepted as pure devotional service. Thus in Srimad Bhagavatam it is written that the 9 kinds of sadhana bhakti are hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, of name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu. 2. Remembering them. 3. Serving the lotus feet of the Lord. 4. Offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia. 5. Offering prayers to the Lord. 6. Becoming a servant. 7. Considering the Lord one's best friend. And 8. Surrendering everything unto him. Seems there's a numbering problem here.
Put the first 2 together.
Yeah, the first 2 together. You'd think the translator would have figured that out. Describing the different limbs and sublimbs that are parts of these, Srila Rupa Goswami describes 64 different kinds of sadhana bhakti. While considering these points, another topic needs to be explained. Sadhana bhakti is of 2 kinds, vaidhi, according to rules and regulations, and 2, raga anuga, spontaneous. In Vaidhi Bhakti, one engages in the nine kinds of activities previously described. In Raganuga Bhakti, one engages in the activities of Sadhana Bhakti, but one becomes the follower of the people of Raja, and in one's mind, one serves Lord Krishna as they do. One should engage in the kind of Sadhana Bhakti for which he is qualified, Lahiri. How does one know he is qualified for one or the other of these kinds of Sadhana Bhakti? Babaji, a faithful person who follows the rules and regulations is qualified. In the beginning, his spiritual master teaches him Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti. Then, when the disciple becomes qualified, the spiritual master teaches him how to worship the Lord by following the path of Raga Anuga Bhakti. Lahiri, how does a person know he has become qualified for this? Babaji, one who has not yet experienced in his heart the love that characterizes Raga Anuga Bhakti, and who instead wishes to serve the Lord according to the rules and regulations described in the scriptures, is qualified to engage in Vaidhi Bhakti. One who does not wish to be ruled by the scriptures' rules and regulations in his devotional service to Lord Hari, and in whose heart a spontaneous love for Lord Hari's devotional service has become manifested, is qualified to engage in Raga Anuga Bhakti. We see here is that one likes to do according to the rules and serve the Lord in this way. The other one is that, not being controlled by them, one has a spontaneous attraction for the devotional service. It didn't say Krishna. Right? Otherwise, then the Sahaja idea is just I spontaneous just for Krishna. But what it means is spontaneous attraction to the Lord's devotional service means one spontaneously attracted to hear and chant and glorify and do these devotional activities. One likes doing them. One has a taste for them, an attraction for them. Like that. That's the spontaneous. It's not, because that then will mature into having that towards Krishna. Right. The other one is one wants to serve Krishna through these rules. He likes doing the rules, but he's controlled by the rules. The other is, he's not controlled by the rules, he likes to do those activities. Right? The rule is you should chant, and we feel comfortable being controlled by that. We're chanting because it's the rule. The other is that we're not controlled by that rule, that we're chanting because it's the rule, we're chanting because we like to chant. Right? So otherwise we can easily take this, you know, especially in a modern context, is that you don't like to be controlled by the rules. Nobody wants to be controlled by any rules, so therefore everybody's on the spontaneous platform. But they have a spontaneous love for Lord Hari's devotional service. That's what they have. So that's what makes the difference between being unregulated and not following Vaidhi Sadhana, in other words, just following some speculative form of one's own choice, and Raga Anuga Bhakti. They're two different things. The tendency is just, well, I'm not controlled by the rule. I do anything I like. I get up when I like. I chant when I like. I eat when I like. You know, like that. No, that's not what it means. It means you're spontaneously attracted to chant Krishna's names. It doesn't matter that, okay, at this time of the day you chant, and then at this time of the day you don't. No, you chant all the time. You know, you're spontaneously attracted to take Krishna's prasad, so it's not that you're only interested in only that kind of prasad, you just like prasadam, because it's Krishna. So anything is, you know, one has attraction to. You know, and because it's Krishna, and this is Krishna's body, therefore one only honors the prasad according to the need of the body. You know, it's just, I mean, of course you may have the prasadam devotee, he's spontaneously attracted. Anytime he gets his hands on anything, he'll eat all day, you know, and gorge himself. But that's not spontaneous devotional service. You know? At least it's directed at Krishna's attraction for Krishna. But it's still not what you call Raga Anuga. So that's why the knowledge is important, that one can discriminate between these. Otherwise, then one may end up on so many strange, doing so many strange things and calling it that one is advanced. Uh, Lahiri. Oh, Master, please. Any question on that? Yes.
I would like to ask, in this modern time in our movement, we can notice that some devotees are a little bit burned out because of certain reasons, and then they went out and take shelter in some other processes. For instance, somebody is going to the Radha Kund and taking initiation from Babaji, or somebody is going to Narayan Maharaj and so on. And what is confusing a little bit for me, that I didn't notice that they are unhappy when they are there, but they look quite inspired. And I was thinking, I mean, and here I noticed many devotees who struggle with this process. And I agree this is process, I mean, I like, but I'm a little bit confused about this. What is actually the problem?
See, when you do something for a long time, then if you want to get a taste out of it, you have to go deeper into it. Otherwise, it becomes ritualistic. Right? So, if one has trouble with having that capacity, then a change in the environment appears to be enlivening. This is something new, different. But with time, that will also become stale. Right? Then you're again faced with the same things. You know, our heart is, you know, dirty, and we have to clean it. If we want to go back to Godhead, you know, then we have to become serious. So, by that change of environment, then one gets distracted. One doesn't have to worry about that. It's attractive, it's nice, you know. So that's there. But at some point, that also, one has to enter it. Mm-hmm. And then difficulty will be there. How long have they been doing it? How long have they been sitting at Radha Kund? 3 months, 6 months, 1 year, 2 years? Right? And the other process, then how long they were doing. The other thing is whether they're following the process properly. Is that if one is offensive to Vaishnavas, critical of Vaishnavas, then naturally one's not going to get any taste. So if they change the situation and they don't do that, then those reactions may not be coming. But still, the point's going to come. They will have to go deeply into whatever they're doing. And that means facing, they have a conditioned nature and they are not perfect. And they have to change that. Right? While the other thing, it looks like, okay, maybe it's nice, it's attractive, and one's happy. But still, at one point, then the question has to come is, what about all your previous material desires? You know? You had all these things. You turned away your attention from Krishna to follow these things. Now you're saying that you're giving, you know, give up everything to surrender to Krishna. But what about these desires? So they will have to be, you know, one by one inspected, and to see if you have no desire for them. And so for many that process is difficult. You know, especially when you position, facilities, this and that, you know. We've been around a long time, we've been 20, 30 years in the movement, and then what's to show for it? Right? So many others, you know, are big positions, and so many facilities, and influence, and that, and what do I have? Nothing. Right? So that will be very difficult, because that's not, spiritual life has nothing to do with that. Spiritual, that's not, has, it's nothing to do with spiritual life. engaging the conditioned nature, there, someone has the capacity, material capacity, to do big organizational things, then the best thing is to do those big organizational things for Krishna. But what has that got to do with that we're doing it, or that position of doing it? Right? So one has to be humble. So whether one's doing big things or small things, one should be engaged according to one's nature. So, to look at all those things, many may not be very comfortable with them. So it is very easy to go somewhere else. Right? It is very easy to go somewhere else. It's just like you have, let's say you have, you know, a community. Right? And in this community there's so many families. And in those families, some of them are running very nicely, and the relationships in the families are quite pleasant, and some of those families are running very badly. They don't work very nicely at all. Right? So then someone may find by leaving that family and that community and going somewhere else, people don't know them and don't have any ideas, oh, you did this before and you did that before, and neither do they have that towards those people. And so then it may seemingly in the beginning go nicely. But one has to see if with time it goes nicely. But now another aspect is, so that's what we just explained. Now the other aspect is, why were they in that situation in the first place? Why were they born in that family that didn't work properly due to great pious results? No. So why are they in a situation where, you know, they're fried out by the temple president, and this one fries them out there, and there's so much politics and this and that? But only someone who they themselves are political can get caught up in politics. You understand? When you say this person was political and this one did this and that one did that, but you yourself have to agree to be in it. And how will you agree unless you have politics within yourself to get involved? Right? You only get involved in something that you have the qualities of. You don't get involved in something you don't have the qualities of. You have managing abilities, you get caught up in management. You know? One is into art, then one gets caught up in art. One doesn't get caught up in something else. You know? Whatever is one's quality, one will get caught up in that and will be affected to that, because that's where one's attachments are. You know, it's just like you have a nice, you know, big abhishek and all that, and all the devotees are very happy and ecstatic and all that, they're watching this and that. There may be so many problems going on and all the pujaris are fried. No one else is fried. They couldn't care less about, you know, that, you know, the yogurt was put in the wrong pot and this didn't have a tulsi leaf in it, and, you know, and the kusasan wasn't there, and everybody else is just, the deity is there, he's being bathed nicely, it's a wonderful festival. And the pujaris are all bent out of shape, worst abhishek I've ever had. You know, everybody else is happy. Right? So, that's the point. So it's easy to blame others. You know? It's easy to blame others. But the problem is if we follow it, it will come back to us. We chose to come here. We chose to stay here. You know? And we chose to engage in the activities here in the material world. Therefore, we chose to get the results of that. So that is the difficult thing, is how many are willing to actually just look and accept that I'm the rat bag, not somebody else? That's the difficulty because of the false ego. That's why it said, Trinada Pisanichina, Tarorada Pisishna, be humble and tolerant. If those are there, then you can respect others and not expect respect for yourself. Otherwise, what is it? How can they speak like this to me? I've been in the temple, I did so much sankirtan. That's humility? Or that's pride? So you are praising yourself and not offering respect to others. Now what does Lord Chaitanya recommend? Yeah. So if you look at it, any situation where devotees are fried out, and you look at it very carefully, then you will see that the modes of nature are very much at work, and both parties are wrong. You might find that according to, you know, the traditions and other things, one person may be wrong. Of course, it's always there that the leader should come up to a particular standard. But the point is one living entity, so that's another discussion. You know, that the temple president could behave like that, that's wrong, yes. Question may be whether they are qualified to be temple president or not. That's there. That is another discussion. That has nothing to do with the devotee becoming burnt out. These two separate discussions. One is whether for them, the temple president, to advance, that soul who's the temple president, is that the best service for them? Do they have the conditioned nature to do that? Right? If they do, then they need to be trained how to do it so that they do it properly. And if they don't, it's obvious because they're upsetting everybody. So they should do something else. That's one discussion. But why were we in the situation where we got disturbed? Right? One living entity's karma is going to be, the results are going to be given through another living entity. The material nature is dead matter. It's not going to give it. Right? The material energy is not going to, it's going to come through another living entity. So therefore, we were supposed to be dealt with in this rough way. So there was this living entity who had the qualifications to do it. And the material energy engaged them to do it. Does that make sense? Right? So therefore, it happened to us. Like that. Not that the living entity who was the instrument is going to get any pious credit for that. No, if the activity was wrong, they're also going to get a reaction. But that's a separate discussion. It means if we want to get caught up in that and always eternally be looking outside ourselves for our happiness and for, you know, the cause of our distress, we can do that, and then we're going to stay in this material world for a long time. So we have to be able to look within and see the soul and understand the soul is conditioned. So what is the nature of that conditioning? So therefore, I think I'm something worthwhile that the temple president shouldn't be yelling at me. But that's my ego. You know, but temple president shouldn't manage like this. So that means you're the authority on management? Okay, if you are, then you can do it. But the point is you have that mood of management. Therefore, you run into, you know, loggerheads with someone else who has it. But only according to your karma. And this is the difficult thing for anyone to digest. It comes back to us. That's the bottom line. It's no one else's fault. Others may be used as the instrument, but it is no one else's fault. Not one other living entity's fault. It's our fault. Bus. So when we're able to accept that, then you can make dynamic advancement. So whether you do it here or there, but the point is the same thing has to be done. Same thing has to be done. So it's not a matter of running away, it's just a matter of, you know, getting serious. Is that making sense? Yes, no?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Temple president should be trained. What do you mean by that?
That's another discussion. That's how that means. Just, you know, what is how proper management and what is all these different things. You know, that we see in the Bhagavatam, you know, how the big organizers organize things.
Does it mean just to be a good devotee with a good quality, or some special training? Like
Both. It's just like for any art or science, there needs to be training.
somewhere. Like here in Market, they are organizing a teacher training course that is going on, but some other courses.
This will come with time.
I have one more question.
Is it related to this? No. Oh, yours is related to this? Yeah. We'll come back.
Did you say that getting the association with devotees is not dependent on karma? But it seems that what kind of devotees association would get is related. So I'm not sure how that goes.
Yeah, because she will be attracted by a certain nature like that. So that's why it's also one should associate with those more advanced. It means it'll be similar character, but it will be advanced on that. So that will inspire us to move forward. So everybody's individual and you know, unique in their that mix of what. So then one associates with those devotees in which those qualities that we have will naturally be seen in their more advanced form, or properly engaged form, you know, a properly purified form. You know, therefore we might find we like to hear from many, many devotees, because one will take care of one aspect, another aspect. But we have to be respectful to everybody, even if someone we can't relate to them, still we have to be respectful.
I'm also thinking of someone joining the movement. So we join because it's not on karma that we join. We got the mercy of the devotees in their association, but then we join at a certain temple. So then it seemed that what kind of a temple president is there and what kind of devotees are there, that seems to be related to our karma.
It's not necessarily, karma may be involved, but it's more a sincerity. Like that. Because you see, sometimes there is, you see many times, like these, they have these articles in the BTG on how someone became a devotee. I can't remember who it was, but they were in America, and the city where they lived, there were devotees. And they might have seen them once or twice here or there, but didn't take much notice. Then they went to Europe and were traveling in Europe. That's when they bumped into devotees, became a devotee, and then stayed in that yatra. It's, how do you say? Krishna and the material energy, they're good organizers. They're good at these things. See, the whole thing is bhakti is beyond, but our conditioned nature is also involved. Like that. Bhakti is the essential thing, but because we're conditioned, we tend to relate to bhakti through our conditioned nature. Just like that is that if we were looking at devotion as I'm an individual spirit soul, I'm foolish for being here, and whatever nonsense I get, I deserve, because I've done the activities, so I'm going to get it. So however it comes in whatever forms is Krishna's mercy. Right? But as soon as it's why I'm getting this, why I'm getting that, because we're not. That is the conditioned nature. That's not the soul speaking. That's the soul thinking that they are the conditioned nature. Now, is Haridas Thakur complaining that he's being beaten in 22 markets? No, he just goes on chanting. Of course, this is a very extreme example, but this is showing that even in a situation like this, which we're not going through, the temple president isn't taking us out, putting us in the back of the van and taking us out in one market and then flogging us and then going to the next mall and then flogging us and then the flea market and flogging us. It's not happening. It's very severe. But even in this situation, the devotee is able to maintain that humility and all that. Not only after that, then at the end, Haridas Thakur notices, means they don't notice that how is it this person is perfectly happy and hasn't died. They haven't asked that question, right? If they were smart, they would ask that. What is it that you're doing or having? Why is it this is there? Everybody, we meet so many people and they're so miserable and this and that. You're not miserable, so what is there? Then he would have explained to them the chanting the holy name and serving the Lord. They didn't. But he was noticing they're getting distressed. Because then, you know, they went to all 22 markets and there's no more markets, you know. And he's supposed to be dead. And he's not. And so then when they go back and they're going to say, so, the, you know, the infidel is dead. And they're going to say, no, he's perfectly happy sitting down there in the last market. So they're going to get in trouble. So then Haridas Thakur, understanding that, and he just, you know, just goes into samadhi. So then he looks dead. So then they're very happy, you know. So then they throw them into the Ganga, because if he was a proper Muslim, they would bury him. But since, you know, he's not, then therefore they throw him in the river, right? So then he, you know, floats across the river, and when he reaches the other side, then he hoodie bowl gets up and across the river, you know. Like that. So that's the thing. But he is worried about them, and they're the ones that are the instrument, because they're just an instrument. They're an instrument for him being beaten, but they, as individual souls, that's another story. They're in distress. So he's worried about their distress. He's not worrying that they're the ones that are being used as the instrument, because that changes. Material energy may use this person as an instrument, that person as an instrument, this situation, that situation. That's something different from the living entity.